6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. Today we're going to review a very hectic round 8 of fantasy footy and preview what we're going to do about this cash cow crisis and who are the upgrades we're going to get up to. Let's go!
Just done it from nowhere.
G'day and welcome again to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And I am joined by a top 1,000 coach in Luke Roderson, coach of the Mighty Oxlongs. Mate, you've had a nice weekend. Could have been nicer, and I'm sure we'll get into that soon. But you're moving up and into three-digit territory.
Yeah, it's definitely the first time I've been in this territory, so it's pretty exciting. But like you said, it was a rollercoaster weekend, nonetheless.
Yeah, so some screenshots, might have been some mozzing going on, but, how high did you get to on the weekend? Because I saw your name a little bit high up there on the
before
rankings.
Before Max Gawn played, the Mighty Oxlongs entered the top 20.
Ooh!
Very briefly, top 20.
You're on the front page.
I always knew that there was a drop imminent with not only Gawn, but then also the Lions players.
Mm.
Probably
went as bad as it could have from that point on.
From that point, it went downhill rapidly. There was a point where I thought, hey, maybe I could stay inside the top 500 here.
Mm. I was thinking top 300. I was like, this guy's going to get up there.
But and just you thinking the big boys that was were the dirtiest moz that you've ever tried. It was 8:45 in the end with a score of 2-2-1-4.
Hey, there you go.
I think it's worth talking about is in my matchup with friend of the show, Guesty, in the Content Creators Cup, I thought I'm home and host here. So the scenario was I was up by, I think it was like 310 points or something like that. And he had Trainer and Will Ashcroft and Levi Ashcroft to come.
Two rookies and a mid-prizer who'd been very up and down.
310 points. Oh, hey, that's
you're feeling pretty good.
You're popping the champagne territories. Yeah. And then Trainer goes 87 and then both the Ashcroft boys play for the Dangly named after their dad.
Yeah.
And here I am losing by 14 points.
Yeah, that was
the unlosable.
Yeah, the unlosable loss.
So well done, Guesty, but that one hurt. That one was rough.
Yeah, so once the point, you hit like 19, I think I saw you at one point. And big Maxi Gawn comes in, and we'll talk about him in a second. But I'm telling you, mate, the big boys, they're undefeatable right now.
They have the unmozzable,
unlosable lead because they're off and flying. It's the only thing I'm doing right this season.
You had a better round.
I cracked the 2200, 2210. And I am now back in the top 10K, 8,564. So two rounds, gone, before this past round, I'd moved back about, 8,000 spots. And now I'm back up another 2,000 or 3,000 in this last round. So we've started to climb back up and, I won rookie roulette this week.
It doesn't happen for you, mate.
The only reason I won is because I have no rookies on my bench.
Clever.
That's how you win.
That's a smart way to do it.
Red dots on your bench, and you'll never lose rookie roulette.
Clever, mate. Clever.
That's the strategy.
I think a few people might be looking at some smelly looking benches.
Oh yeah, mine is the smelliest. In fact, I think the only bench score I had this week was Corey Warner, who got subbed out.
Yeah,
it's good. So that was good. So he subbed out on 50, and then the sub in, Jed Bustling, who scored 8. So my bench scored a total of 58 points this week. Yeah, so
two vests.
Yeah, and two vests. So they could both be gone just as easily. So we'll see how things go this round. But let's get into some awards. We'll start positive first because this man set us up for a good weekend.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Absorbent in yellow and porous is he?
SpongeBob
now you would think
SquarePants!
That... Just wait for the sound grab first, mate. You jumped in a bit early. But this bloke showed up with his square pants on.
Well, Tim, I was just going to say, you would think that the llama is sort of close to the camel family. But this man was a sponge on the weekend.
He was.
I have not seen Tim English run as hard as I saw him run on the weekend this entire season, because he got a sniff of it.
Yeah.
And just put the Port Adelaide Ruckmans in the rearview mirror, kicked 3 goals. He could have had 5, Luke. He could have had 5.
Yeah.
Passed one off and missed one as a behind. So,
I mean, at this point, we didn't know what Max Gawn was going to do, but this was actually needed for our teams, given 100%. That neither of us own Max Gawn. So we needed something to go up against it, and Tim English provided. There were a couple of efforts there. I mean, Jeremy Finlayson was the sub that came on, so you'd anticipate fresh legs. And there were a few, I reckon they'll be pointed out in the Port Adelaide team meeting this week, because there were a few embarrassing efforts where Tim English just ran away from Jeremy Finlayson, who is shorter than him. You'd anticipate could keep up with him around the ground. Tim English was looking really good. So if he's that Tim English for the next couple of weeks, then we are in the box seat.
Since his round one score, he's averaging over 111 points per game. So, you know, we panicked after round one and thought about trading him out. And yeah, the hold has definitely paid off thus far. And hopefully, yeah, we see more of those kind of games, because that looks like the old Tim English on the weekend where he was outworking his opponent. What about on the other side of the coin?
Get it, humping away.
I'm going to call out an entire team this Campbell Award. Fremantle Dockers.
Couple of humps.
Just so many humps. There's like too many humps to count on that team, because they put up a pretty insipid performance on the weekend against St. Kilda, who were the team that were being dominated for the two weeks prior, and then Frio came out and just got absolutely smashed, and some of their best ball winners in the midfield, they were terrible. Even the halfbacks who feast on, you know, this St. Kilda matchup, they were terrible. There was just nothing really to hang hats on for Frio, and from a fantasy point of view, no one was good. So it was just a terrible, terrible performance. So Fremantle as a collective and their game style.
Yeah, they're not looking
very camel-like.
Yeah, I think off the top of my head, Freo have dropped into the bottom three in the league in
disposals.
Disposals and marks, I think it is. I think they're down like something like 14 marks on what they were per game last year. So, yeah, it's worrying signs at Fremantle. And this was something that we were talking about. We own Brayshaw, but there was just this hesitancy to recommend people trading him in, because he's kind of not been saving his scores, but it's just been high tackles, low marks.
He's been playing excellent footy for decent scores.
Yeah. So, interesting, but I don't mind. Yeah, Camel for a whole team. I think they can cop it this week.
Yeah, I mean, like only 3 players above 90. No one turned up. 9 of the top 12 scores were all St. Kilda. And like we said, St. Kilda were the team that was the flip the 2 weeks ago. So Fremantle, yeah, it's a legit problem there. I think their game style, as far as fantasy scoring, is going to be a big issue so far this season. And I am stuck with stinky old Sarong in my side. And I blame Will Day, because he would not be in my side if it wasn't for that injury. So that's fun. Let's go on to review the round more broadly in Bogs and Flogs.
And the winner of the Norm Smith Medal.
You're an embarrassment to what you do, mate. You're an embarrassment.
Now, once again, Thursday night came around and we were high and mighty. And it was because of this man here that you had from the start of the season. I've traded him in. So the Thursday night left us, you know, feeling really good. And Harry Sheezel gets the best on ground putting up his biggest score of the season so far, and both you and I's vice captain for the round always sells and calms down the nerves a little bit.
Yeah, this was happy days. What, he's averaging 132?
134 for the Mitchmans.
Unbelievable coaching performance from you. And like you said, we both had the VC on, so it was a good way to start the week. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, Caleb Daniel...
Trouble.
Look, I wrote this in my review article that you can check out on the Patreon, but I think that his days are numbered. I'm not saying that this has to be a soon thing because we have other things to fix up, but I just don't know whether Caleb Daniel...
I don't think he's a top six, that's for sure.
And we certainly kind of considered that he could potentially be at the start of the year. So I think it's not a huge priority right now, but it all depends if whether he can hold his spot on the team as well. There's been a bit of talk about that too. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back, like he put up a couple of tons in rounds 2 and 3, 80s and 90s, but the last 2 weeks, couple 70s. The 75 was against Port Adelaide, okay? It's Port Adelaide, it's a tough matchup, and 77 against Essendon, who are not necessarily a great matchup for defenders, but they're not a bad matchup. So I don't necessarily think it's panic stations yet. What I would hope to see, and the issue with him is the defensive effort, and that is the big thing for North Melbourne. I think they're still conceding the most amount of goals, or maybe Richmond took over them on the weekend, but that is the issue for North Melbourne at the moment, and he is someone who is definitely not helping in that department. So hopefully it is an issue that we can solve at a later date because we have some other things to concede. St Kilda versus Fremantle. We got another ex-dog, but for a positive.
This time. Jack McRae is getting it done, and he will be a guy that will be a top six forward. He looks very happy at his new home, and I mean, this is one of those things we always knew that he was capable of these kind of scores. It was just...
It was nice to be reminded, though, because he was, prior to this game, he was putting up some pretty bad scores after a hot three-game start.
Yeah, I mean, like, across the board, the average is looking pretty good, because I think that hot three-game start that you mentioned had a 150 in it. So, we're happy with what he's doing, and he couldn't be further from the priorities that we have at the moment.
No, he's still locked in there. I've got two nominees for the flog one.
You snuck somebody in here that
doesn't deserve. Yeah, so Caleb Sarong, unquestionable, just flog. Worst trade I've made so far this season, even worse than Joel Frazier. And like I said, he wouldn't be in my side if it wasn't for Will Day, which just compounds the annoyance that I have Caleb Strong sitting on my team. But the real flog in this game here was you. You're the flog.
I don't compute.
You sent me a text message at halftime in this game because I traded in a rookie and you did not. I traded in Hugh Boxall.
Yeah,
he was flying. 60 points at halftime and you were up in arms. You said, oh, I can't believe you're so kissed trading in this rookie. Oh, woe is me. I don't have him. I'm going to trade him in and he's going to be so expensive. 14 points in the second half and he barely played.
It was definitely a strategic text, I will admit it. And it worked perfectly.
You need to apologize for the people out there because this man could be dropped next week and it's all your fault.
I'm not going to apologize for low time on ground. My mozzes don't extend to the realms of time on ground.
You don't know your own power, mate. When you're in the top 1,000, the mozzes are amplified. It's a thing. You were sitting up there with your two-digit rank at this point and you're going, oh, yeah, just...
I need to get affordable box this week, and also needed Hugh Box should be affordable in fantasy. But the time on ground is the issue. So this is one of those things as well where I think he definitely was the rookie pick of the week. And if he plays and he's not vested next week, I think he'll still be the rookie pick of the week this week. But the issue is we've got Poo waiting in the wings. Poo is turtle heading, if you like. And it probably means who's going to get that vest. St Kilda, is it going to be Boxall? Is Garcia only had the week reprieve? Does Max Hall cop it? So,
I don't think Max Hall cops it. I think he's still solid in there.
He's pretty safe.
Garcia,
he gets a Hall pass.
He had 10 tackles on the weekend. And looking at Garcia, I can't believe this. Look at his last few scores. 80, 20, 84, 82, 42. Guess which ones I fielded. Out of those scores, you guess it right. It's the 20 and the 42. This guy is...
Just got to get the best out of your players, mate.
He's out of my side now, so there's no headache there anymore. But anyway, St Kilda continue to be a headache, and you're not helping situation by mozzing the rookies. Let's go to Western Bulldogs versus Port Adelaide. It is the big llama himself, Tim English. Yep. We gave him a big pump up on the sponge, but he deserves the double award here.
The flog is Bevo, and Bevo's not a stranger to being a flog.
He's a titular character
in this
segment.
Why have we got... Well, have we got the bus in the depot?
It's parked.
Get that bus out of the
depot.
And
this was a Luke Trainer type sub. Came on 4 minutes. Game was completely over.
Don't do it like that. It's not great for his cash, Jen. We'd prefer... And I'd imagine that the bus is coming on thinking, great, this is awesome. The only thing that can happen here is I can get injured.
Literally, there was no benefit.
What do I achieve in 5 minutes? We've won the game. I'm just coming
up,
out here.
They were up so much by three-quarter time. Yeah. Why not just get him on there and give him some exposure? But no, Bebo doesn't give a shit. Right. No, he doesn't care.
Killed the bus for us in this
one. Yeah, so there's another cash cow, which... we're in trouble. We're going to talk about the cash generation crisis later. But Adelaide versus Carlton, your trade-in?
Yeah, Jordan Dawson was nice. A trade-in target this week. I wasn't sure on some of those kind of underpriced guys. I did consider a Josh Dacos, which I think still would have been a decent trade-in this week as well. And obviously, you would have saved some cash there as well. But I did pay out for Jordan Dawson.
Is there a part of you that is concerned
no.
that he went forward and played forward a fair bit in this game, kicked three goals? Are you worried?
I preempted your question. I'm going to say no. As an owner now, of course.
Yeah, you're not worried at all. Nah,
yeah, nah, this is awesome.
Why would you?
No, because I think that Jordan Dawson will spend more time forward in games where it's not there to be won. And in games where it's not there to be won, because they've already won it, he's likely to actually kick a few goals.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
And help you score out. Yep. I think that Jordan Dawson, if we're talking tough games, I think you're going to get first quarter Jordan Dawson. And I think if you check, he scored 50 points in the first quarter.
He did. He dominated.
So there's my rationale behind it, but that's
He still had the highest amount of CBAs apart from Riley O'Brien. So
someone we should be more worried about is the flog for this game.
Yeah, Tom De Koning. We thought, you know, he was back last week. He had the 119 or 117. But either side of that, 260s, that is gross. Now, I know Riley O'Brien is a tough matchup and that Tristan Sherry is a tough matchup. So, but I still thought that he was better than this in bad matchups.
I don't know if TDK's tough. Like, that's... sitting here in my comfy chair and I'm throwing out just absolute garbage.
You heard it here first.
But, like, you look at...
Tim, come and find him.
You look at, like, a Max Gorn or something. He just...
Get him a Ross
Tim, Tom,
up.
Anyone, come for me. Do you know what I mean? Like, Max Gorn just, like, feels heart and soul. Like, he just feels like everything's out there on the line. And sometimes with TDK, I don't know.
I thought he'd fill the stat line a bit more. One tackle, one mark. Like, I thought even...
Can you hit the light, please?
Do you want to hug or...
I was going to come around, but... Okay. I was going to do the reach around, but I couldn't reach.
I thought he was going to, even in like a bad quote-unquote ruck matchup, like maybe he'll get smashed in the hitouts, but I thought he would tackle and mark and work Riley O'Brien around the ground a bit more, but that did not happen, and Carlton got their pants pulled down a bit as well. So... not good signs, and we'll have a chat about him a bit later. Collingwood versus Geelong. I was going to give it to Darcy Cameron, but I want to highlight the bigger thing here, which is the Geelong matchup for Rux. It's a friendly one because we also saw that there was an injury to Reece Stanley in this one quite early, so Darcy Cameron took full advantage of this one, scoring the 140, and definitely something we're going to watch moving forward as well. It has been and always, I think, will be a really friendly matchup for Rux, so just a good reassurance there.
Do you want to keep firing and do the flog for this game as well?
Yeah, Max Holmes, he sucks, man. I thought this guy was good. I was wrong. No tag. He's just, I don't know. He's not it. I thought he was going to put together something a bit more impressive than this. The kick to handball ratio was bad. He played off half back for a bit of this game.
I know they're not playing the same position all the time either, but I do think Bailey Smith, what he's doing at the moment is just taking a little bit of an edge off. Like, if you think about Geelong,
they're not chipping it around, they're getting it and going. And
yeah, and Geelong have never been like a hugely fantasy relevant, big fantasy scoring team. So you add a Bailey Smith in there, who we do expect to be that player. Like, is there a room for a team that hasn't historically been that to then suddenly have two guys that are going to be scoring really well? Perhaps he's taking a bit of an edge
He's
off.
Now had more sub 80 scores than he did all of last season.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
And I thought he was going to take a step up this year. So what we need it to be is a step up in his ceiling from this point on if you have him on your side. I was hesitant to recommend him last week, and I still remain that way. He is getting cheaper. He's below 900,000 now, so there's a point where you pull the trigger, but I don't know. I'm lacking the confidence that I once had. He doesn't get easy matchups. He goes GWS and then Port Adelaide is next two. So I'd probably be at least waiting for those two rounds before I start to look at him. And by then he's going to get cheap and my team's going to be even shitter. So yeah, it's very disappointing. Let's go to West Coast versus Melbourne. Again, making this all about me. It's the big boys is the best on ground.
Got to stay on brand.
I was the last week. Mm. I won the week. Took it all out. This past week, second.
Yeah.
Backed it up, Luke.
Who'd you get beaten by?
I got beaten by Big Doodle.
So who beat you in the captain's
job? So Big Doodle and the big boys were both up top there. And the Fantasy Fanatics were also 3 points behind me, I reckon. A little bit of copying going on.
No, I'm kidding.
But yeah, so the big boys are absolutely flying. I am overall for the season, Luke, second.
Okay.
In the world. Captain pickings.
As you might be getting the vibe, we are unlikely to hear the end of it too.
Yep.
The flog for this game is Xavier Lindsay. This is probably, the way this played out is likely more painful for others.
Sometimes a bit harsh to put it on rookies, but you know, we're ruthless on this show.
Sorry, Xavier. But the problem here was that I think after last week, a lot of people fielded Xavier Lindsay over Levi Ashcroft, or there were at least a few that I saw.
I mean, against West Coast, I can definitely see the logic.
Can see the logic. And I know I was hurt by Levi Ashcroft, but if you had him sitting on the bench in the last game of the round and you had a 33 from Lindsay, then that's killer.
Yeah.
Commiserations there. Sydney and GWS, Battle of the Bridge?
The Battle of the Bridge, yeah. The
Finn Callahan finally pulled his finger out because he actually scored decently.
Yeah, 121, had 8 tackles, looked the part. Obviously, GWS still lost this game, but yeah, he, I guess, did everything he could in terms of trying to score the points for fantasy owners. So I think this is his biggest score for the season so far. And if you held on through the poor games, he rewarded you in this one. So that was good to see.
You are a ruthless fuckwit because you just potting the rookies here. This guy has been nothing but good for us since you've given him the flog.
Riley Bice. He is a 25-year-old vet. So this man is fair game. Sorry, 24. But no, not good enough, mate. I'm not tolerating 40s on my field anymore.
I've had a
sub 50, I think, every single week on my ground. And Riley Bice was the one rookie that I felt safe with. And he's just gone and torn that all asunder, and now I don't know if I can trust anyone.
No, I've got a veto. Poor Riley Bice. Yeah, give it to Briggsy or something like that.
Briggsy, we've lost faith in Briggsy. You know, you got to give it to someone who can hurt you. And Riley Bice hurt me on the weekend because I just, you know, wasn't expecting that. Let's go to the next game.
Speaking of being hurt.
Hawthorn and Richmond. Yes, this was nice.
Henry Huswaite was a name that gave a little bit of airtime through the week, but it just felt
I wasn't for it, but he, so far, week one in, 87 points against Richmond obviously helps, but
this week looks good. The question mark always kind of is like, how many of these mid-priced guys can we feel confident going with? But we're going to talk later because maybe there's no one else to go to.
Yeah.
So the flog in this one is a subbed Dylan Moore on a 40 score.
It just keeps hurting people. We were sort of recommending or kind of saying it's an option, and he's done nothing but, you know, kick you in the nuts, basically, because if you went there, it's been very disappointing. Subbed out tactical, I assume it's just a rest.
Yeah, I mean,
against a poor side.
You want Dylan less of him if he's in your side. Brisbane and the Gold Coast, Bog and Flog.
Yep.
The Ashcroft brothers.
The Ashcroft brothers.
Had the Ashcroft brothers, they were the Bog. If you did not, they were the Flog. I should have seen this coming. They were playing for a dangly. It's named after their dad. Of course they were going to do well. Did I think they and Luke Traynor were going to score 321 points? I didn't.
No, no. So this is Ashcroft's best score of his young career.
Will Ashcroft also had his lowest CBAs for the whole entire year.
Yeah, so and no CBAs for Levi Ashcroft. So just purely off the half forward line there. So yeah, kickstart a bit more cash generation. Anyone who was stupid enough to trade them out early copped a bit of a kick in the backside. No, I still think it's viable, but yeah. Locking in a ton in the forward line is that does hurt.
That's rough. That's
all
rough.
Right, let's talk some strategy, and I want to spend a bit of time on this because I think this is the topic of the moment, and that is a cash generation crisis. It is a crisis, Luke, because I don't know about you, I have no one generating cash. No one. Yeah. There's not one player in my side, except maybe Levi Ashcroft, and Zachy Reed, who is generating cash because the rookies that have been coming through have been bad. Jed Blaslinger, he was the guy the week before. He was sub, scored an 8. Hugh Boxall, yeah, he scored a 74, but I have very little confidence in his job security after playing 59% time on ground.
That was 59%.
Corey Warner got subbed out. We lost Christian Moraes. We lost Connor Stone. A lot of people still have Lucas Camporeale sitting there. Angus Hastings, you've got Leeks getting around still. It is trouble in terms of the cash generation. What can we do?
I think we have, like, there's going to be circumstances, I think, where we need to look at it a little bit differently, which might be if we're not presented with those rookies, we do have to look a little bit more at those mid-prices, and perhaps our teams don't get, like, quote-unquote, completed, but we start to look at those guys who are, you know, maybe positive cash generators that are a little bit expensive. So, like, let's use Poo as an example. So, Poo this week, if he comes in...
Mateus is the one we're talking about. Correct. Not actual... Yes.
Yes. thank you for clarifying.
Yes.
if Poo comes in, he to me is one of those guys...
Poo's, like, already in my side. My team is shit.
It's typically not... I think at this stage of the year, you would want to go up to guys that you are a little bit more certain that are keepers, but... This might be one of those ones where we just need to take this because we anticipate he's going to generate some cash. And at the moment, we don't have many options that are doing that, like you said.
Yeah. It is, I think, a legitimate issue. And the past couple of seasons have gotten away with culling rookies early and getting the premiums because the downgrades have been there. Like, they've been coming up at the right time, you know, and you sort of make do with what you got. And, like... When we go to do the show notes on this one here and we go to put in, like, trade targets and we're talking downgrade targets, I just don't know who to write down at this stage. It's a week-to-week proposition at the moment. The last 2 weeks, I've just jumped on the basement price rookie who's been the debutante, and there is definite risks with that. It's not something that I have done in the past. I usually like to see at least one game from these rookies, but the ones we have seen one game from so far, it doesn't fill me with confidence at all. So there is a... I think we're going to have to get creative here. And I haven't gone with these guys and I've not recommended them, but I think with what I'm seeing so far, I might early days be, like, have been wrong on some of these, you know, Ned Longs, who's the Brisbane halfbacker?
Fletcher.
Some of these guys that presented themselves, I was sort of not keen to go there, but they've generated good cash the last few weeks, more so than some of the rookies, and scored enough to be on your field. So now, that's not to say that we jump onto those guys that have done it the last few weeks. Yeah. We want to try and find the next few guys. But it is challenging my philosophies, I think, because of the lack of options in terms of cash generating rookies that are available that we can trust. And the buy rounds just being around the corner, like only, I think we've got 3 more rounds than the first buy rounds come. We're going to need these rookies on our field.
This is the thing I was going to mention. This problem's only going to be exacerbated by the buy rounds because even though you're dropping down to best 18, of course we're missing players. So typically we rely on these rookies to come in and at least kind of provide some level of cover. Can I try to use an example that I think is kind of relevant to this week to see if we can hash it out? Let's say Chad Warner's a guy that we've been talking about for a couple of weeks. And the reason we've been talking about him is because they've had a bit of a tough run. He's down on his price. He got subbed. And we kind of think from the game just on the weekend onwards, he actually has a pretty decent run.
He has a good run now.
Coming into his
bye.
We saw from both he and Heaney as examples as well that they scored really well in the first half of their previous two games. They kind of slowed. So maybe people aren't going to look there as much. But if Chad Warner was a target for you this week because, like I said, cash is down and he's now coming into a decent run of fixtures.
Probably think he's there or thereabouts for the top six.
Given what we now know about all of our cash generation crisis, as you put it, is it a scenario where you, instead of going Chad Warner, you go Mateus Philippou, you put a bit of cash away for a rainy day, so to speak, or it's shitter rookies that you get to put.
Yeah,
so, and you don't really feel like you got a great upgrade, but the cash generation is hopefully moving.
So in the past, my strategy has been, I want to prioritize the upgrade. I want to get the guy that I think, and I did that this week. I wanted to get Harry Sheasel because I thought he was the best upgrade. And I don't regret that, but I think from this point moving forward, I'm going to flip that around a little bit. So if I could get, and we're going to go through some trade targets in a second, and let's use the Chad Warner example, like you said. If I needed to trade out, maybe using DPP, Zach Reed, and someone like a Corey Warner or a Cleary out to get a rookie in and a Chad Warner, versus maybe I have enough cash in the bank to trade out Christian Moraes and Connor Stone and get it a Philippou, I'm definitely going that second option.
Yeah.
Because at this stage, especially if your team looks anything like mine and you have one or two green dots on your bench, that is too nervous of a scenario for me to be treading water with that kind of a bench and cash and raising situation. Now, if you were in a good spot and you've done a few more of the Ned Long moves, you've got Fletcher in your side, you've got all these guys that are non-traditional cash generators, and maybe your bench is looking a lot healthier than mine, I would still recommend doing what I would normally do, because you've got a bit more of a luxury to do so. But I think there are a lot of teams out there that look a bit like mine, where there's red dots starting to pile up, and I think we need to address that now. With some of these cheaper guys, there is risks associated though. Like some of the players we might be looking at, we're talking about Mateus Philippou, who was named and then not named because he had a corky. So he's the guy that we're pretty confident is going to be there, but we still don't know in what capacity, whether he's going to be playing in the midfield like we expected in the preseason, whether he's going to be just eased along. So there's risk with that. There's other guys, they were talking about Callum Mills being close to returning as a potential option. I think Kitty Coleman played in the VFL on the weekend and racked up maybe something like, I saw 22 disposals or something like that with 10 marks. So there's some guys that might be coming in that we were considering in the preseason, but typically we'd like to see a game out of these guys. There's risk going in head first and not seeing anything. Is that something that, with the current situation, you would just take that risk on? Or is it another situation where we do just a rookie shuffle? Because this is still trying to force a bit of an upgrade in that scenario. Or would you rather maybe do like a double downgrade? The issue I find is who you double downgrading to.
Yeah, I think you still try to get the, even if it's the semi-upgrade. I mean, even you would hope. What's the Poo priced at?
That's a good question. I want to say he's about 65.
So, I mean, even based on what we've seen about the fact that Ross seems to like him in that midfield role, I think even priced at 65, even if he's not like a absolute jet keeper forward at the end of the day, I think he at least serves the purpose of like what a Ned Long's doing, what a Jasper Fletcher's doing, what a...
Price at 66.
What a Henry Huthwaite's doing at the moment. So I think that you can still probably go into him without having seen anything. Of course, the little asterisk on that is, when you're picking a guy at the start of the year, like we'd planned to, you've got weeks of fix-up trades to move him, whereas at this time of the season, if he absolutely flops...
Don't have that luxury, really.
But I like to think what we've seen when he has been in the team in the last 12 months or so, I think that... I feel pretty confident that St Kilda liked the cut of his jib. And
I like the fact that he was named this past week and that they held him out. And okay, he had a corky and didn't quite get up for the game, but it feels like he was a week. He's been a back a week in a way from the original injury. Maybe that's just me talking myself into it. But at the moment, I like the option of doing that little halfway upgrade with two red dots or two sucky rookies. Finn O'Sullivan's another one that comes to mind. If you can do that, rather than getting rid of a good rookie to get a better upgrade, if your bench is looking as dire or anything close to mine, I think you want to have at least an emergency and a reliable emergency in each of your lines. Like, I would not be counting Jed Buslinger. I'd almost not even be counting Boxall at this stage as, like, a reliable emergency on your bench because, yeah, come the bye rounds, we're going to have to put some of these rookies on field when those bye rounds come around. So it is interesting. It is very interesting at this point. Another name that maybe is one we haven't talked about for a little while plays for Adelaide. Why am I Peatling? What do we think about Peatling as an option? He's a little bit more expensive, 100K, so it sort of splits the difference between the Warner and Philippou types, but with Crouch out for a bit, they drop Sid Draper inexplicitly. I don't really understand why, but he scored an 88 on the weekend with some more CBAs. Could he be maybe a halfway kind of guy? If you've seen something?
I mean, if you don't have Long, then I think, no, I'd prefer to have Long than Peatling, I think. Yeah, that one's a no for me. I just think that we saw enough probably at the start of the year to suggest that he's not the priority in there. I know you said there's obviously a few names out of there now as well, but I'm going to steer clear of Peatling, I think.
Yeah, his price is maybe just a little bit higher than I'd love to pay. He did a 64% CBA, same basically as Rankin, more than Soligo, but I could easily see that flipping the next week is maybe a little bit of the concern. You could read that a different way. And yeah, with the rookie double downgrade, that the thing is there is, yeah, who do you go to? So I don't think I'd be messing around with a rookie downgrade or double downgrade or sideways. There are some players that maybe are a bit more expensive, like a Fonty, who had his first game on the weekend, scored a 70. I liked his role, but job security still, you know, at that elevated price, you hope that he's in there for a long time. I don't know if I can guarantee that. Some of these Carlton guys that were doing okay, I think Carroll put up a poor score on the weekend.
They're also pretty expensive now as well.
Pretty expensive now. So going sideways to those, it doesn't feel like a solve, really. So I think looking at those little upgrades this week might be a play, unless you do have a really healthy bench. And if you do, this is a perfect time for you to take advantage. And absolutely. Go for the top there and try and, yeah, push that scoring and push the cash onto your field now more than ever.
Ready to chop?
Let's chop some players. Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Well played, sir.
I just feel it now. I can, you know, don't need the music or anything. Let's have a conversation about Tom DeConing. Is he legitimately on the chopping block?
This is a little bit of a tricky one as well, because in a week where, like you said, maybe there's...
Could your upgrade be Tom DeConing to Tristan Sherry or Max Gawn or...
Based on the last 2 weeks, it certainly could be an upgrade. The issue with this one, let's say that you've played around with your rookies and you don't quite have enough money to afford to trade a fattened rookie up to an underpriced premium, and you start to think, okay, well, maybe I just do DeConing across to Gawn or DeConing across to Sherry or something like that. Yes, you probably are getting a little bit of an upgrade. You're getting a guy that you feel more confident about for the rest of the season, and you can kind of lock that away. But you're not getting a rookie off your field, so to speak. Whereas I think in the other scenario that where we were talking about before, where you're trading in like a Philippou, I do feel a little bit more confident that having, like, let's say it's a Philippou at my F6 instead of a Cleary, I feel more confident that is actually an upgrade, or, you know, him getting off the field a Lawler or some, you know, someone of that variety. I feel
It's the same amount of cash, essentially. It might even be a little bit more to go from Tom DeConing to Max Gawn than it is to go from Christian Moraes to Philippou. Like, it is, it's actually more expensive of an upgrade to do that.
I can't believe Gawn went up 75K this week.
Holy shit. Yeah.
So he's had three scores of 130.
He's break even 70.
Yeah, that's insane.
I think you let that go now. I think you can't go Max Gawn. Tristan Sherry might be the one that maybe you do, because it's only 100K.
If we talk about cash, then Max Gawn's made more cash over the last 3 weeks than...
Yeah, but he'll eventually come back down. Like, it's not... I think... And this is where sometimes team value can be misleading. Like, if you have... Like, for example, players who started off the season hot, like Jordan Dawson made a bunch of cash. His cash gen is back down now. someone like a Brayshaw, he went up and then he's down. Like, it's not cash that you're converting into improving your side, because you're not moving these guys. They're just sitting there. That cash gen, I think, is a little bit misleading. Unless it's like you're trading into them at a point where they're cheap.
Yeah.
Hence saving the cash. But Gawn going up from that's the, it's irrelevant now that you have him.
It is. I mean, here's the scenario for TDK owners. So in terms of matchups, over the 3 weeks leading into his bye, he has two semi-easy matchups in St Kilda and GWS, and then split by the matchup with Sydney. He then has his bye and then goes into, again, two easy matchups in Essendon and West Coast after his bye. But if you wanted to trade TDK at his bye to Max Gawn, even though, again, you'd be trading a player that is yet to have their bye, at that week, TDK is going to score nothing and Max Gawn's going to go up against St Kilda, which is a better matchup for Rucks as well. So yeah. Is it one of those ones where if you jump now, you're kind of giving away two half-decent matchups for TDK and you may as well just wait until he gets to his bye, or by that point, are they separated by even more cash and you're just kicking yourself?
It's tough. I think the Max Gawn thing has gone too far. The other thing, the other conversation as well, is that Max Gawn's on a different buy round to TDK. A lot of us maybe have a few of these round 12 players. So you also have to weigh up on how much value is it to have that extra player on your round 12 buy round. And like you said, if you trade him out at his buy, the price difference is going to be more. But maybe you look at a different area. Maybe you're looking at someone like a Darcy Cameron or a Rowan Marshall, or someone like that who have different buy rounds and maybe the price isn't as extreme. I don't think we need to. I know it's the ruck line. And I know we, like, it's the options are slimmer, like there's less options. But I don't think we need to bring ourselves like too focused on the one guy. You know, I think there are other options. I know, yeah, Rowan Marshall is basically the same price as a $3,000 difference between Rowan Marshall and TDK. TDK's got a good matchup this week. His break-even's 119. Like, he went 117 the week before, so he might keep that price the same. Adelaide have been a tough matchup. North Melbourne have been a tough matchup. I think you hold on to him and try and deal with the rookies first. But if you are in a luxury position and your rookies are there, then maybe you could look at it. But I definitely think I'd be fixing those rookies first. As frustrating as he's been, because at least he's going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that brings us to probably the next layer of players that are on the chopping block, which is those fattened rookies or rookies that have been dropped. So you're kind of prioritizing, from what you've said, moving those red dot rookies now to, you know, at least those mid-price guys in like a Philippou and just kind of best available.
I think this is very situationally dependent on the health of your bench. And so my traditional advice would be get the guy you want. Like, for example, me, I wanted to get Harry Sheasel last week, so I was happy to trade out Davidson and Hugo Garcia to do that. So two rookies that were on my field, rightly or wrongly, to get in the guy that I wanted. I'm happy with that move, but it has left me, like, I held Oliver, I held Moraes, I held Connor Stone. So there's a lot of risk associated with that. And I think if I push that issue even further, I'd be going a bit too far. So I think if you're in a better situation, maybe you've only got one or two red dots, then I'd be doing the reverse. And I'd be getting rid of like a Zach Reed if that was the difference, or I'd be getting rid of Cleary. Ashcroft, he's got North Melbourne and he just went 115. I'd want to hold on to him. Maybe Bice is time to go. I know he's just put up one bad score, but he's done a great job at generating cash. $670,000, that'll get you up to someone good pretty easily. I'd be happy to make those kind of moves.
Yeah, okay.
If I had a healthier bench than what I do. So, very situational, which is sometimes not received well in the fantasy community. But, I think it is the answer there. But for my team, I'm looking to go poor rookies out first at this stage, even if I have to take a hit on the upgrade that I'm looking to generate.
Okay, on the other end of things are our trade targets. We'll talk about, obviously, guys that you can trade up to that we think are more going to be like keepers on their lines as well, yeah, as well as some players that you might be looking to downgrade to downgrade and improve your bench hygiene as well. So, in the defensive line, who have we got our eyes on, Mitch?
I think that Jack Sinclair is in a very nice price point at this point now. So he is priced at $97.98, and he had that like pop score against Richmond, but has since not been as good as Wang. Which is a tough stretch to be, but he's come down from his starting price, $80,000. Plays Carlton this week. I don't think it's an urgent trade in now. His break even's 141, but definitely someone who I think is now officially at a value point, which is decent. Maybe hold off 1 week and launch into the West Coast Eagles matchup next week. I do think he's at a decent price. Harry Sheasel, we traded him in last week. We're happy we got the pop score. Is it now those of who didn't get him in, he's a target? He is not cheap, but he is value, I think, 1.05 million. What do you think about Harry Sheasel? Price at 106. Where do you see him going from here?
Yeah, like you said, it's maybe you're kind of chasing that decent score that he had last week, because up until that, I've been a little disappointed. I mean, I paid a ridiculous amount of money for a guy that I haven't, up until last week, put the VC or the C on, which is kind of the reason you pay up for those big dogs as well. So, it looked as though on the weekend, kind of any of that outside noise that was, you know, surrounding the Roos and surrounding Sheasel that was going into the game, he kind of put that aside and he just played what he was going to play.
He played the role we wanted. He was off half back.
The thing that I think
tackled well.
Yeah, and that's probably the thing that I think is not as sustainable for him is, I think, did he have six tackles in the end?
Five.
Five yeah. tackles. I don't think you can rely on that every week for a guy playing kind of loose across half back. So maybe that ceiling score was a little bit kissed.
I love his time on ground off that role. He's played that role three times so far this year, and each one of those games he's played more than 90% tog, which is when you're a fucking gun like Harry Sheasel, it's going to be hard not to fall into a good score. Yeah. So the other two times, Port Adelaide 95 he scored, and Sydney he scored 125. I still think that if you're confident that this is going to be his role for the next sort of 5 to 10 games, I still think he's value. Despite being priced at 106, 107, I think he can go 115 playing this role. So I don't think it's too late. You have missed a pop score, but I'd be pretty happy to lock him away, as I would with Zorko. Now, we're not Zorko owners, but apparently he saved his score with a pretty disgusting effort. We were out to dinner, so we didn't get a chance to watch this, but I had a lot of people mentioning to me that he deserved Sponge of the Week for a patch where he scored like 44 points in the last quarter, finished with a ton, and he has the Kangaroos this week as well, so...
I couldn't give him the sponge because it was another part that killed my ranking. I think like I was falling, but the last quarter, I think it fell like 300 ranks.
Yeah, so he's priced at 102. So a bit more expensive than a Sinclair. I could see them averaging something similar, which is why I'd probably go Sinclair first. But with that said, he's not going to go down in price again this week, I don't think, or at least not by much.
No, and I think looking at his run coming into the buys, there's a few tough ones there, but I think that there's a few there where he could show us his ceiling like he occasionally does. So, I would agree. If he is fit and healthy, then he is probably under... Josh Dacos. What about Josh Dacos? So
he was good.
He was good, and probably based on the stat line, he probably was still even a little bit under what he could have been. He's in the same price bracket now as someone... Jack Sinclair.
Yeah.
Would you take Dacos over Sinclair, or is Sinclair still to you?
The thing is with Sinclair, his break-even's 140, so you're going to get him cheaper next week. So it is hard to launch into a player where you go, why would I pay that extra? And I don't expect his matchup to be like amazing. He's definitely a guy that I want for the following week, so I'm definitely eyeing him off against that West Coast matchup. But... So maybe it's just a case you don't look at the defenders for this week. You look at a different position and knowing that Sinclair is going to be a good option next week.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I don't think I'd trade Josh Dacos over a Sinclair. I just might look elsewhere in a different line, knowing that there's going to be a better option soon.
Yeah.
But I do think Josh Dacos, I could see him averaging close to 100. And he is still priced underneath that. Although there's a little bit of a risk that he gets... a lot of the commentators, and we know how, you know, they love to throw the tag word around, but they're calling that maybe he needs to get some more attention. It's tough because his brother's so fucking good as well.
Yeah, where do you go to?
Yeah. I don't see many of the teams he's coming up against likely to tag a halfback. Maybe Hawthorn. But a lot of the other teams won't likely do that. So, no, he's a solid option, but he's always a little bit down the list.
Just before we move to midfielders, Joe Fonte, you mentioned him before. He kind of seemed to come in and fill the Connor Stone role.
Bit more attacking.
Yeah, 7 marks for him. I mean, he scored more than what Connor Stone's scored all year. So, is that one of those ones where, like, he is a little bit more expensive, 354K, but is it one of those ones where, like, just depending on the whims of the coach, Connor Stone could come back in at any point?
They lost.
And he is more expensive, so this is one of those ones, like, if you're trading a poorly performing rookie,
let's call it... They play 320 Sunday, so...
So let's call it
sub-risk.
A Finn O'Sullivan, you're trying to trade down to him. Moraes, you're not making any money. You're making 50K, you're making 100K max. So
I liked what I saw from him. There's obviously an elevated risk with the elevated price, and he's only played one game. It's a tough side to stay in on.
Yeah.
I think he's as good of an option as any, but it's still nervous times.
Okay, let's talk midfielders then. Isaac Heaney is
cheap.
And he's almost in the exact same vein as Chad Warner in the fact that they both started this week just gone and the previous week insanely well. It looked like they were on track to ton up. And then they kind of, the game script kind of pushed them out of the points in the second half. Is that kind of a good thing for people that maybe didn't want them to come onto everyone else's radar but know that they're coming into the run?
Yeah, to me, this lines up perfectly in that I've seen enough. I see that the scoring can still be there, but they haven't gone massive and inflated their price. They haven't gone massive and, you know, caught everyone else's eyeballs. I still think they're going to be fairly unique. Now, Sydney are not playing as well as they were last year. And so what did Heaney average 105 last year? Maybe he's not going to go to that height. I think maybe he can still be a 100 averaging player. And he's priced below 90. So there's 10 points of upside. Their run is actually really nice from this point to their mid-season bye in round 14. So Essendon, Carlton, Melbourne, Adelaide, Richmond. 4 out of those 5 teams are struggling. And Adelaide have given up some big scores so far this year, and I don't think he's going to cop much attention per se in that matchup. So I think they've had a fairly tough run, especially the last 3 or 4. And, you know, I think he's ready to bounce back a little bit. He's averaging 85 on the season. So you're basically paying for what he's done so far, and I think that's well under what he can do. Like, he was so good last year. That doesn't just go away.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Sydney averaging 10 less marks on the year. They're averaging a similar number of disposals, interestingly. But you're right in saying they're not the Swans that they were previously.
4 out of 5 green matchups for midfielders in the next 5 to their bye.
Yeah, which I think is good. And I'd imagine if you go back and have a look at the teams that they've played, it hasn't been as friendly. So you kind of just... There's the natural ebbs and flows of the season that we see with players on the run as well. These guys are the same players. They're going to get theirs at some point.
Yeah, so I really like Isaac Heaney as a trade option. Like I said, a bit cheaper, like below 900,000, but I think he is someone that I can see averaging 100 plus, and I think that in the midfield, that's good enough, and might be a guy that you're happy to trade out on his buy round. You know, he's got a round 14, so a little bit later, you'll have some guys you can trade into coming off rounds 12 and 13, so and he has a great run, so ticks a lot of boxes there. Another option, and again, probably a wait a week, and... He's got a couple of Darwin games, but Noah Anderson started again really well, but then sort of fizzled in the game. Is just gone 82. He's coming off, so now he's priced below 100. He's a guy that I'd launch at Heaney this week and maybe watch Anderson and hope he gets a bit cheaper in the next few, but definitely on my radar.
Yeah, they come into the Western Bulldogs, who have been. Pretty restrictive, and then Hawthorn, who are always quite restrictive. Noah Anderson's burnt me before, but I do agree that, like, over the course of the season, I think he is unders what he'll put out.
Yeah.
We need to see the Suns continue some more winning, I think.
Yeah, so they lost, obviously, to Brisbane.
It's always the case, or it always seems to be the case with the Suns, is that they win and they score well. I mean, that's probably just... You're simplifying it for every team. It's pretty similar, but it seems to be even more so with Noah Anderson.
Yeah, agreed. But, yeah, I think, yeah, he's break even, I want to say, is high still, so 131. So he's come down. He went down 33K this past week. He might do that, you know, similarly again, maybe down another 25-30K. So he'll get cheaper, but it is one of those ones you could launch a bit early. I mean, the Bulldogs is not a bad matchup. They're not a tagging side, which is good for a player like Anderson. And I think that, you know, tag game against Sydney is a bit of an anomaly. The 81's a little bit disappointing. I hoped he would have gone, you know, 90+. But yeah, someone you can definitely look to as a bit of a cheap option, as is, and I'm not as sold on this guy compared to Heaney in terms of like lining up and ticking all the boxes, because this team just, I can't make sense of what the coach is doing week to week. But Jack Steele, he is cheap, 932,000. Just put up a 113 with 11 tackles against Frio. But again, Frio, what were they doing on the weekend? But another good run. So Carlton, West Coast, Gold Coast, Melbourne into his round 13 bye. Is it time for the Man of Steel as a alternative to like a Heaney sort of type?
Yeah, you mentioned the good run. The worrying thing throughout this year is that he's had to have just crazy tackle numbers to even get to what I would call is like a respectable score for a player of his caliber. So in the two games where he's gone 100, that was a 114 and a 113, and in those games he had 13 and 11 tackles respectively. Like in the days of old, if Jack Steele had 13 tackles, then we're talking 140 because he's pairing it with marks and obviously the disposals as well. So yeah, it's a little bit worrying. And like you said, with the potential for Philippou to come into that midfield as well. Not that I think necessarily like takes points away from him, but it's just like another ball in the air that we kind of need to see where it lands, hey?
Yeah, yeah. I think if I was to rank those options for this week, I'd probably go Heaney first, Steele second, and Anderson third. But in a week, I expect Anderson to leapfrog Steele. I think he's going to be a better player long term. So if I'm looking at my side and I've got maybe two spots left in my midfield, then, you know, I'd want to maybe put Anderson in there at some point. And maybe it's a Heaney this week or I look somewhere else. So Steele kind of maybe, he's a decent option now, but it's like, could there be better options in the future? You got to sort of weigh that up. But I think he is unders what he can do, maybe just not enough. Let's go to Rucks.
I know we talked about Hugh Boshall a little bit, but I just wanted to quickly ask on him.
Yeah, if you're launching in?
If you're a non-owner, they play on Friday night. So
that's good.
That is a positive. So if he's not named the sub, he's the guy. Like,
I think he is. Break even negative -7.
Yeah.
He obviously showed he can score. He's been scoring well in the juniors. Hopefully he just gets more of a run at it. Maybe he was just being eased into it in a beatdown of a game. I don't know. Maybe no more mozzing from you might help.
Yeah, I think it was his second quarter or his third quarter. He had like 76% time on ground. So to have an overall of 59%, it shows you just how bad the other quarters were. Yeah. But he showed, like, when he's out there, he's willing to get involved. So maybe, like you said, they're easing him into it and he'll see a little bit more game time this coming week.
Yeah, played 51% quarter one. Trying to find it. 76 quarter two. Quarter three played 58%. And quarter four played 54%. So basically, all bar one quarter, he played half the game, half the quarters. So I spent most of it on the bench, which is
it's
a little bit nervous times, I think. So, but I'm glad that he's on Friday and we'll get to see if he's starting the sub at least. I don't think he's an on-field option, despite going 70.
Any trade targets in the Rucks?
Well, the Rucks, talk to me about Rowan Marshall. I don't know what to make of the man. 91, 107 in his last two, but before that, 52, 70, 75. But before that, 123, 142, and then around 164. He's been all over the place. All over the place. Averaging 90 on the season, which is definitely not Romar.
Carlton,
West Coast in his next two. So two good matchups, and then afterwards goes Gold Coast, Melbourne. Two tough matchups. It's hard to make any sense of it.
It really is, especially when, like, I'm assuming that if you're looking at Rowan Marshall, it's probably from a TDK. Mm. So are you going to trade from a TDK to a guy who's effectively been giving us the same headaches that just has a worse run coming into his bye? And at least TDK's bye does come, I think it's 2 weeks earlier or... 2 weeks earlier than
1 week.
1 week, sorry.
Yeah, so he's got the round 13 versus TDK's round 12.
So I just feel like that, to me, even though I would have at the start of the season considered that on it, like an all-time upgrade with what we know Rowan Marshall can do. I'm just like, this year we haven't seen any evidence that he's been able to string patches together.
Yeah, like, and Frio should have been a decent matchup for him. Like, yeah, he had 38 hitouts, but 13 touches, like, that's not Roma.
And St Kilda dominated that game.
Yeah,
so
if you ask
yourself, like, St Kilda's going out every week to play the way they played on the weekend because they killed Fremantle. So yeah, if they play like that every week, Ross will be happy, and he scored a 90. So
it's a tough call. And I will say that, like, I know the round 13 bye is like the quote unquote good bye because there's only two teams on that. But like, if you just think about a lot of the names we've talked about so far in today, Jack Sinclair, Jack Steele, Rowan Marshall, we're going to talk about Philippou, and we have talked about Philippou already. Some of us have traded in, you know, Brayshaws, and some of us idiots have Caleb Sarong or Nazai Wanganeen-Miller in our side as well. Hey, like this,
you're not an idiot to have the Wang in your side, mate.
I meant just Sarong. We might have a lot of players on the round 13 bye, despite just being those two teams. They're two very relevant teams. Yep. So trading a round 12, I know both your rucks, it looks a bit neater and you're spreading it out, but we don't have an R3 anyway. So am I right in thinking that that's like, it doesn't make a difference? Really?
In terms of the bye round?
In terms of the bye rounds, like having two rucks that play in round 13 versus having one that plays in round 13 and one that plays in round 12. Like, what's the difference? If in round 13 you've still got eight premiums on that bye round, like you may be having to field a lot of rookies. I think the total number of players playing and total number of premiums playing on any given round is more important than whether or not it's filled with two rucks or not. Any rucks at all.
Yeah, I think it's a fair point.
Yeah, so I would just, I'm not sure if that logic is lining up with my line of thinking. So I still think he'll be better than TDK, but is it worth the trade? Could you be doing something else? Is always the question. Forward line, Chad Warner, if money's not an issue, I think he is the guy. Do you agree? He is not the most fantasy friendly of scorers in the past, at least. So
yeah, he's more in that.
He is prone to some poor games here and there.
He's more in that sort of Horn Francis mold, yeah, where
impact
we know
he's
going to have that impact, but you're picking him on a line where you can kind of get away with that a little bit as well. So I think that if you are picking him, you are picking him because you think that he's a little bit unders because of a tough sort of start to the season with a subbed game and going into a good run. But like, I'm almost coming around to the line of thinking that like Philippou and Chad Warner could go very similarly based on what we've seen from Philippou in the right role. Is there almost an argument to say that like regardless of what position your team is in, that you could go the Poo instead,
or would just bank cash?
Or if you're in that ultra luxurious position where your team's looking really good, your bench is looking really good, you do get Warner and you wait for Poo for a week and then you know.
Yeah, I'd want to maybe wait a week on Poo if I had the luxury, and maybe instead of a Warner, it's a Heaney. I know, like, obviously they have the same run. I just have more faith in Heaney's fantasy ability.
You just don't want to
wait too. Similar price.
You don't want to wait too long on Poo. It can upset.
Yeah.
You can upset a few things if you do that.
Yeah, you want to, when it's ready to come out, it's ready to come out.
Yeah, you got to chop it, so to speak. It gets on the chopping block.
Yeah, interesting choice of words there. But I mean, yeah, I'm just not like if you take out that sub game, he is so far averaging 92.3. In the last couple of seasons, he's averaged 93 and 92.5. Like, that is exactly who he is. He's a low 90s player. And he is currently priced at, what is he priced at? 87. So you're basically getting 6 points of value. It's solid. It's okay at this point of year. And I still think he'll be there or thereabouts, top six. Maybe he might be fifth, sixth, or seventh. I don't think you have to force him into your side.
No, and you're getting that 6 points of value, but you're probably hoping to get closer to 10 between now and the bye.
Yeah.
So with a decent run.
Yeah,
you're probably hoping. I think if he went 92 over the next 4 weeks into his bye, I think I'd actually be pretty disappointed in that.
Yeah, like, you'd hope you go maybe 100 over the next four or five.
Yeah, and then you can kind of reassess that whole situation at the bye, as a lot of has happened between, now and then.
Yeah, I mean, he's got Essendon, Melbourne, and Richmond in three of his next five matchups, which are all pretty good. But then Philippou is the next option in the forward line as well. And we sort of touched on Peatling a bit as well. You weren't as keen. I'm probably not as keen as well either although maybe with a bit of a buy around play potentially. But Philippou is probably the guy there. Anyone else that you wanted to highlight there? Is it a bit too late for Christian Petrarca? he's obviously shot up a bit in price now. He's getting close to being priced at 100. What is he priced at the moment? 98 at this stage.
He's a very popular trade-in based on the coach's choice on the stat center there as well. So whether that's people kind of just chasing the scores that you've seen, you do have to make sure that you look at the fact that he's coming off a couple of great games.
Essendon, Frio, Richmond, West Coast. It doesn't really get better than that.
No, it doesn't. But he is in a friendlier role than what he started the season at. So, you know, I think that...
Yeah, I still think he's a little bit under. I'd probably start to look at the next guy now, though. So hence why I haven't had him on the run sheet here. Like, I'm glad he's in my side, and we've talked about him in the last 2 or 3 weeks. But I think we need to move on to the next guy. And I think that is, the Heaneys, the Chad Warners, these sort of types of players that potentially the Philippous potentially that we want to get ahead of the curve. That will do it for us. Hopefully we have some news for some debutants. I'd love to finally see Josh Smiley show his teeth in an AFL game and get that Colgate sponsorship. That is lined up right there. Hopefully we'll get some debutants. And if you have any questions, you can sign up to the Patreon at patreon.com/ballboys, where we'll do our Q&A and we'll also do our live show on Friday. You'll get the Ball Boys Big Boys if you sign up to Patreon, which have been flying. You'll get that on Thursday before the Thursday night game, which is, what's the game this weekend? Frio Collingwood. So maybe some relevant names in that one there as well. Make sure you guys like this video, subscribe, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye!
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.